Happy New Year! There's a lot of celebration that we get to. We get to celebrate God doing crazy things in people's lives. We got to pray for Abby. Glenn has got a birthday. Pablo, I don't know if Pablo's here. He had a birthday. Is there some engaged folk here? Some newly engaged folk in the back? Woo! Lots of fun stuff. Happy New Year! It's 2019. You're still writing 18 on your checks and stuff? Nobody writes checks anymore. Just me. Well, I'm excited. Today is Epiphany Sunday. We're starting a new series on the art of neighboring. And hopefully, if you came in, then you received this fun magnet thing. And I worked really hard on it, gluing it and cutting it, and so I want you to take really good care of it. There'll be more details on why this thing is in your hands this morning, but at the end of the day, our heart's desire is that this month we would be praying for our neighborhood and getting to know our neighbors better. That's the hope. Today, if you were from an Eastern Orthodox or Coptic Orthodox background, this is Christmas, so Merry Christmas! But really, we celebrate this day as the day of arriving of we three kings of Orient are. They never existed, but that's what we celebrate. They weren't kings. They were actually like the early forms of Zoroastrians, if you know that faith. Monotheists that really were hunting for some sort of Messiah figure to come. And through the stars, some sort of astrology, God revealed himself to them and said, guess what? The Messiah is coming. And this revealing came to them so much so that they went to the current king of the Jews, Herod, and said, hey, we heard that the new king of the Jews was born. Can you imagine doing that to the king of the Jews? Hey, you're not going to be king anymore. All because you watched the stars. You came from Persia many, many miles, and you said, hey, you're going to be dethroned. Happy New Year! That's what today is all about. It's the day of God's revealing in really powerful and sort of brash ways. Those three that came, they had an epiphany. That's why we call this epiphany. It was a God's revealing to them that the new king of the Jews was to be born. It was an absolute miracle, don't you think? These weren't Christians. There was no such thing at the time. They weren't Jews. And yet God said, hey, I'm doing something. I was thinking about it and I thought, I wonder if the first testimony of Jesus was given by non-Jews, Zoroastrian astrologers. They gave the testimony to Herod of the good news. Isn't that crazy? The first testimony of Jesus. A miracle. I think it's an absolute miracle. Epiphanies are miracles. When we reveal Jesus, it's a miracle. There's all kind of scripture that says the testimony of Jesus is the basis of all kinds of things. Prophecy. It's amazing. And so today, if you remember anything, I want to tell you, friends, I want to share with you that Jesus is inviting us to be a part of the miraculous. Would you set your hearts and minds and everything about you this morning that 2019, I'm going to be a part of a miracle. When I was a kid, I was a part of a larger church that had like a choir for the elementary school kids. And there was a song that we learned that you don't know. Because Miss Rosemary Maganello, the choir director of the elementary school students, created it. And we all learned it. And now, I don't know how many years later, I think 30 years later, I still know it. And it says, getting ready for the miracle, ready for the miracle, ready for the miracle on Christmas Day. And it just repeats and repeats and repeats. And that's why I still know it 30 years later. But what was embedded in my heart was really the testimony of Jesus. We're getting ready for God to be appearing. Y'all, it's a miracle that it was appeared to you. The testimony of Jesus, if it was never revealed to you, is being revealed right now. That's a miracle. It's a 2,000-year-old story with prophecy from even before that, that Jesus has come. He's here for you. Can you think of all the stuff in your life that got in the way of that and yet you still know it? How many people heard the testimony of Jesus and went, I'd like to do something else? Raise your hand. And yet you're still here. It's a miracle. Think of all the stuff that whoever told you about Jesus, I mean, they weren't perfect, were they? You know stories about them, and yet you're here, and they told you about Jesus. It's a miracle. We are going to be a part of the miraculous this year, Mission Vineyard. I want to share with you one of those miracles that Jesus started out and really set the stage for his disciples about what a miracle could look like. And this is from Matthew 14, verse 13. If I can set the stage for this story first, Jesus is born, develops into a man. There's a guy that comes before him named John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, the Messiah is coming. He's saying, Jesus is coming, the Messiah is coming, and then Jesus comes. They happen to be cousins. John begins baptizing people, saying, get ready, repent of all your sins, because the kingdom is at hand. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes up to him and says, hey, baptize me. And John says, oh, I know who you are. I'm not baptizing you. And he baptizes him anyway, because Jesus says, no, we got to do this. This is the way it needs to be. John baptizes him. Jesus goes into an amazing desert experience, gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and then begins his ministry in amazing, powerful ways. Well, remember that King Herod guy that was not so excited about receiving the news that he wasn't going to be king anymore? Yeah, he wasn't so happy about the news that John the Baptist was going around saying the same thing. So on Herod's birthday, Herod decides to bring John the Baptist in and say, hey, daughter of mine, any wishes? And she says, yeah, cut off John the Baptist's head. Happy birthday. And John's beheaded in the middle of the party. This gruesome act. A persecution against the testimony of Jesus, wouldn't you say? Jesus hears about that. Can you imagine how Jesus felt? A lot of you in this room have lost family members this year. That space of mourning, that space of the air being taken out of your lungs. Can you imagine what Jesus was feeling when he heard that his cousin, this man that went before him to set the stage for his whole ministry, that risked his life to testify that Jesus was coming, was just killed? And then Matthew 14, 13, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Makes sense, doesn't it? We have to remember that Jesus was human too. He was mourning. Can you imagine emotionally exhausted? You've got to think, right? And he went to be alone. But the crowds who had heard the testimony of Jesus somehow through a miracle, right? Who knows how they're hearing it? Maybe it's rumor. Maybe there's some more astrologers in the mix that are seeing the stars. They heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd and stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Okay, you mourners, you're feeling this. I know you're feeling this. Can you imagine? You've just heard that some of the closest people to you have died. John the Baptist has died to Jesus. He's exhausted. People are following him. They're hearing that he's doing miracles, that he's the man, that there's life in him. The testimony of Jesus is being spread around. You got to imagine he just took a deep, human, exhausted breath. Had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. He healed their sick so long that evening came. Can you imagine being that exhausted? Healing sick people, hearing the testimonies of ill people, the troubles that they had all day. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, come on, dude. This is a remote place. It's getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages, buy some food for themselves. Let them take care of themselves. You've healed them. Give yourself a break. Your cousin just died at the hands of Herod. Come on, man. And Jesus said, it's not necessary. You feed them. What? Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're also mourning John the Baptist because you're about this kingdom stuff too. You're also following Jesus as like, he's like your mentor. He's everything. And so you're feeling what he's feeling. You're exhausted with him. You want to be there for him. So much that you're saying, come on, guy, get a rest. Send these guys away. You're blown out. It's nighttime. You're hungry. I mean, there's some of the disciples that are really saying, Jesus, we haven't eaten. Send them away. And wouldn't you know it, they do. They have a little picnic basket. They're ready to eat. And Jesus says, you feed them. Now, from what we know, the disciples haven't done any miracles yet. So when Jesus says, you feed them, there's a going on. And they answer, but we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. And again, you've got to imagine Jesus. Just exhausted. And he says, bring him here. Then he told the 5,000 men plus women and children to sit down on the grass. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish and he looked up to heaven and blessed them. I want to pause us for just a minute because each one of us have felt this exhaustion before, haven't we? Raise your hand if you have. And you've sat down and went, I don't have anything left. Let's take a lesson from Jesus for just a moment that when you are done, take what you have, bless it, and look up to heaven. Take what you have, bless it, look up to heaven, and then give it away. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted. You got to think in some of the 5,000, there are some that are like, hey, I'm on. They're like keeping some of themselves. You know, the selfish ones. They don't know that this came from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they're like, oh, I want some more. Even the selfish ones got all that they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day in addition to all the women and children. Jesus recruited 12 that he decided to be the closest to him, to know the testimony of him the best. And he brought them through this process of being part of a miracle when you're completely blown out. Taking what you have, blessing it, looking up to heaven and going, you've got to take care of this. And watching a miracle happen. I think most of us feel like the miracles are going to happen in our lives when we feel the strongest. And it's not the truth. The miracles that happen in our lives happen when we take what we have, when we're blown out. And like Paul says to some church, I can't remember right now, he says, but my power is made perfect. God's power is made perfect in my weakness. I've never prayed over a meal the same way after reading the scripture. So many people are like, oh, you still pray over meals? Ah, Jesus, thanks for the food. Amen. There are some people that say, in Jesus' name, amen. The fastest, they're like auctioneers. In Jesus' name, amen. It's like all one syllable. You take what you have, you bless it, you look up to heaven and you go, God, you've got to do a miracle. And he wanted the 12 closest to him to know that, so that the testimony of Jesus would begin with this. They saw themselves as humble servants of the most elevated rabbi. They saw him get out of a boat, mourning the loss of his cousin that died for sharing the testimony of Jesus, healing the crowds, demonstrating the love and the power of the Holy Spirit. They were followers. I want to be sensitive this morning. Each one of us, you're invited to be a follower of Jesus. But there's a transition that happens, I think, that I want to invite some of you to this morning. And it's from going from a follower of Jesus to a disciple of Jesus. And it doesn't have to be a legal statement this morning. That's not what I'm after. Being a follower of Jesus, you can share the testimony of Jesus. Sharing the testimony of Jesus is, the analogy that I have this morning, it's like being a thermometer. You ever go into a space and you can kind of tell what's going on? And you take the temperature of the room and you go, all right, can I share the testimony of Jesus right now? Or there's a testimony of Jesus going on and you take the temperature of the room and you go, oh, Jesus is up to something. There's a transition that Jesus invites the disciples to, that I think he's inviting us to this morning, and it's from going from a thermometer to a thermostat. And I know that sounds hokey and chippy. I don't know what chippy means. But the disciples witness the miracle of Jesus. Jesus sets the temperature of the day. You see, if Jesus just took the temperature of the crowd, he would have listened to the disciples as they said, would you just send them away? They're hungry. We're hungry. You ever been a leader in that context? Like, all right, yeah, just go take care of yourselves. Just go take care of yourselves. Whatever. I need a nap. And Jesus, instead of just taking the temperature, he becomes a thermostat. And he sets the temperature of what's going on. In discipleship, that's what happens. We change our preference from thermometer to thermostat. Disciples set the temperature in the room. We change from people that are just feeling the temperature to people who change the temperature. We go from people seeing ourselves as the recipients of ministry to seeing ourselves as the partners of ministry. At home, at church, at work, at school, at the market, disciples go out into the world to do, to set the stage, to change the temperature, to make things happen. But for the 12 disciples, that doesn't happen until Jesus raises from the dead. And I want to introduce you to this in Luke 24. They were telling a story, two of the disciples, and they were telling Jesus, actually, what was going on, and they met him on the road, and as they were telling him the story, they recognized him. And as soon as they recognized him, they broke bread with him, just like the last story. Just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself suddenly standing among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost. Because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. And then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of fish, and he ate it. As they watched, then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their mind to the scriptures. He said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that the message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There's forgiveness for all sin, for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here until in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. The disciples hang around with Jesus a lot. They're always watching. They're always seeing. They're always trying. But they never really set the stage for anything. Through the crucifixion, they scattered. And now Jesus, risen from the dead, meets them and says, I want to eat with you again. Let's have some bread. Let's have some fish. Can you imagine the disciples remembering the time when he multiplied it all? And he tells them, guess what, guys? This is not the end. The testimony of me is going to come to such fruition that you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and do the things that I did. Can you imagine how they felt? Remember how Jesus felt when John the Baptist died? Mourning. They had just seen their Savior die, their rabbi, their best friend. Do you think that they could have performed a miracle at that time? Do you think that they were blown out, exhausted? Do you think that they had anything to offer the world? No. Even after seeing his body, I don't know if any of you have been around a dead body before, but they touched holes in Jesus' body. This is traumatic stuff. This is take the wind out of you. This is blown out stuff. They saw him die. Friends, we're going to see miracles this year, but each one of us is going to have to go on a journey from mourning death to embracing miracles. Some of us want to stay in that place of mourning death, thinking that we don't have anything to offer the world. And Jesus is inviting each one of us to take whatever we have, even if we're still mourning, to bless whatever we've got, look up to heaven, and give it away. The disciples do this in one way. They have a step of obedience. They do exactly what Jesus says. They go and they wait. And this is Acts 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, which is also the festival of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, when Jesus was crucified, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. And then Peter started preaching, and then they started doing miracles all over the place. There's a process of going from that mourning to being a part of miracles. And Jesus does it with them. He reveals the scriptures to them. Step one, well, there's an invitation, and then he reveals the scriptures to them. Then they worship him. They spend time praising God. And then what did he say? You have to wait. And so they waited on him. And as they waited, they looked for his filling. And then they went out and shared the testimony of Jesus. And as I'm talking about thermometers and thermostats this morning, I think it's ironic that it was fire that got them. They were filled with something that could change the temperature of the world, and it did. It did, even though they just mourned Jesus' death. It did, even though there was so much persecution in their land that if they were to share the testimony of Jesus, they would have gotten killed. And to this day, guess what happened? The testimony of Jesus went out in such a powerful way that we know it now. Imperfect people, shattered by mourning, filled with the Holy Spirit, with the scriptures revealed to them, became miracles for the world. I want to check the time here. Some of you have had miracles happen this year. Raise your hand if you have had a miracle happen this year. Yeah. Raise your hand if you became a miracle this year. I mean, the testimony of Jesus was revealed to you. You're a follower of Jesus because of something that happened last year. Raise your hand. I know there's a couple of you here. We baptized 17 of you. 17 people baptized through Mission Vineyard last year. 30 decided to follow Jesus. This testimony of Jesus went out. Friends, I'm convinced that this is what we're called to this year, to be a part of that miracle. Each one of us is called to it. Each one of us being drawn to it. And there's some of you now that are even getting a little bit excited about it. The call to ministry today for you, if I was going to make any invitation, would be for some of you to get out of your time of mourning and trust that God can take whatever you've got and bless it for the world. Some of you are feeling so down and out that you don't feel like God could do anything. But for some of you, I want to share a bit of a special invitation. There's this book I've been reading called Scattered Servants. I read it after I felt like God was calling our church Scattered Servants. If you look around the room, none of you live close to one another. You all live all over the city, north, south, east, and west. And that was a testimony toward the groups that we had on the 30th. Friends, I think that Mission Vineyard is being called to be scattered servants this year. Not just inviting people to church, not just sharing the testimony of Jesus, but bringing church to their neighbors. I'm starting a cohort this year. For those of you who would be excited about that, I'm trying to make a group on Facebook. My technological acumen has made coding errors. I don't know what's happened there on the Mission Vineyard site, but there's a scattered servant cohort, and I want to invite anybody of you that wants to share the testimony of Jesus with their neighbors to become a part of that cohort. And this year, we're just going to figure out what that looks like. We're going to train one another. We're going to work it out. But the first thing I'd like you to do is pray, just like the disciples did. And in that group, there's a whole section about how to do a prayer walk, and I wanted to invite you to that. But over these next 3 months, you scattered servants, you who want to bring the testimony of Jesus to your neighbors, I want you to begin to prayer walk your neighborhood. Or maybe it's your workplace. Or maybe it's your school. I want this miracle of the testimony of Jesus to get out there. And I think that's what we're called to. Beyond spreading it around the city, I want it to be shared here. I've asked some of you already, but there's a list in the back with dates, and I want you to sign up. Those that would want to share in this space the testimony of Jesus. You who raised your hand and said, a miracle happened in my life. I want you to go back there. I want you to put your name on a list so that the rest of the church can hear the testimony of Jesus. And every week, we're going to make sure that somebody testifies. We want miracles to happen. We want to be a part of miracles. And in 2019, I think each one of us are called to this dynamic change, not just to watch the world happen, but to become disciples that change the atmosphere of where we are. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. There's already been something up on the screen saying a couple things about where God might want to minister to you this morning. People have been praying and risking around that. I'd love for you to respond as we have prayer teams this morning come. Any emotional, physical, or spiritual need? But friends, this is the step of obedience for 2019, to become scattered servants, to become people carrying the testimony of Jesus to the world. Continuing with the miracle of who Jesus is. For those of you who are just still in that scene of mourning, feeling like you don't have anything to offer, you're entering the new year, just sat back and going, God, I don't have anything to offer. I want to pray for you right now. Would you just raise your hand if that's you this morning? Jesus, these people that are raising their hands, they're feeling like you did. In the midst of loss, nothing to offer. with them, God, I pray that whatever they've got left, would you bless it? And would you walk alongside them to bless everything that they have? And would you make miracle out of it, Lord Jesus? Would you show them how you take the meager things that they've got, the loaves and the fishes that they've got that aren't going to be able to provide, God? Would you show them that you can multiply to make a miracle for thousands? There are those of you who feel it already. It's not just the heat in the room. It's not just the sleepiness. There's something else that you're feeling. The Holy Spirit beginning to touch you, saying to you, hey, you're the one that I want to scatter filled with my testimony. Would you raise your hand this morning? There's some of you around the room. Jesus, thank you so much for those raising their hands. Would you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, fill them this morning? Would you put the testimony of Jesus in them, that they would be scattered just like your disciples were, to be change agents, God, not just thermostats, but not just thermometers, but thermostats in their context, in their homes, at their work, in their neighborhoods, God. Fill them, God. That's who they want to be. Change the temperature. Change the atmosphere of where they live and they work. I invite you all, as this last worship song is played, to come for ministry. Come and get prayer if you need prayer. I also want to invite some of you to say yes to Jesus for the first time. Some of you who just heard this miracle for the first time, that Jesus came to die for you, to fill you, to give you a life worth living. Would you pray with me right now? Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I had no idea. Forgive me for going off and going my own way. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe that your cross and your blood's enough for me. And I want to follow you. Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit today? I want a new life. I want a life worth living. I want to live a life where I get to be involved with miracles. Thank you, Lord.